The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. You may be seated. When we think about celebrating Trinity Sunday today, let's stop just for a moment to think about our experience with the Trinity. How has God moved in your heart? How have you seen God manifest in your life? In a small, still voice? In an earthquake? In a volcano like Elijah did? I think about an experience for me when I first moved to Texas from the small little mountain town of North Carolina called Brevard. And I was journeying to Baylor University to start my seminary year, my first year in seminary. I did not want to be there. I kept my bags packed. My apartment was not unpacked. I was determined that I was going to leave. That was just all there was to it. I didn't care what my calling was. I didn't care what I was supposed to be doing. I was going to leave. And I had one friend in seminary that I had made so far. I was lonely. I was tired. I was tired of having to do all of this by what I thought was myself. So I'd had enough, and I decided to pack my bags, and I was going to the airport. I didn't tell anyone. Didn't call anyone. I was just going to go home, and they could do with it what they wanted. Well, I opened the door, and there's my friend. And she said, "Where are you going?" "God told me you were going to try to run away today." And at that moment, I don't know that I had ever truly believed that God speaks to us in ways that manifest so physically in our world. But there she was, and I hadn't told a soul. And she took me to lunch instead. And I ended up going to a service with her that week, very much outside of my experience. Apostolic in nature, with laying on hands and speaking in tongues and lots of different kinds of praise and worship music. Not a place that I felt comfortable or had ever experienced before. But I remember feeling in that moment that something had changed. And I knelt down and I said, "God, if that's where you want me, that's where I will be. And I surrender myself to you." And in that moment, I didn't want to leave anymore. And I'm still in Texas, almost 17 years later. And when we think about the moments that God moves in us, we see a living God, a living Trinity that works in us. What is our experience with God? One of the greatest theologians that I learned about in seminary, author of the liberal theology, you could say, Schleiermacher. He believed that we could only know God in our experience with God. Now think about that for a moment. Whether or not you believe that, don't our experiences with God shape how we view God, how we feel God, how we know God? I know in my experience with camping that it is cold, it is nasty, and it is not something that I want to do. And I've even been in certain situations where I've had to use a leaf to wipe before. That is not my ideal experience. So I'm thinking that glamping might be a better thing for me to do, right? So I booked this wonderful cabin for me and a friend. It was a treehouse that was supposed to look like Hobbit in Lord of the Rings. Oh, this is going to be fantastic. Now that's my kind of camping. And the best part, it has a bathroom. All right. Now, well, we get there only to discover that the bathroom is an incinerator toilet. Have you heard of that before? You press the button and it consumes in holy fire anything that you put in it. But what they don't tell you is that the bottom part is made of metal. So you have to be very careful when you sit on this throne of fire. Well, I got up one morning, I decided to have my coffee, and then I was sitting out on this beautiful deck watching the morning and the sun come through, and then I hear a scream and a yell, and my friend comes running and says, "I need you to call that woman right now, and tell her that this toilet doesn't work. I just singed all the hair off of my legs." Well, I don't know about you, between that and finding a snake in the shower and a raccoon that really did not want me to go back into the treehouse, I'd had enough of glamping too. So no more of that. In our own lives with church, we are shaped by the readings that we have, the church that we attend, and most importantly, maybe, the experiences that we have with people. Having felt God's nearness, how might we have acted to prevent someone from perceiving God in a good way? And I think about that all the time. We never know what little things and what big things we do when we say things like, "You don't belong here. There's another church for you. You don't look like me. You don't think like me. You don't act like me. So maybe you don't belong." Is that the experience that we want to have with God? No. I certainly don't. I know a loving Creator, a Father who wants to have a relationship with us, a Spirit who sustains us, and a Son who showed us so much love that He would give His life for us to demonstrate that. In fact, our very story of creation is a story of relationship. If you ever take the time to read other myths and other creation stories, you'll find that ours is a little bit different and unique. Most creation stories talk about people being made from accident. People were an after product, or they were meant to be toys to play with, or useful things to gain power as God's ward in different things. But our creation story is a story of relationship. God created for the purpose to have a relationship with us. Isn't that remarkable? A Creator who wanted to make us to have a relationship with us and for us to have a relationship with Him. In fact, that story of relationship and seeking out God led to some of the stability in the church, where we had to form together and come to the Nicene Creed. We had begun to once again argue about what it means to know God, who is the person of Christ, how does that relate to the Holy Spirit, and amidst the Arian crisis of defining God as created or human, or was God in fact divine? So you'll notice in the creed that we say each week, how long is the part about Jesus? We really had to hit home on defining who Jesus was, and the hope that this would help us to sustain not only our relationship as a church, but the way we relate to that Trinity. And so the first ecumenical council put together the Nicene Creed. And from that, we begin to see an active Trinity moving and living in our lives. In fact, the epistle reading today that we have from Romans tells us that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. You might say, well, how on earth does that relate to Trinity? Well, think about it. When we are suffering, don't we see God in the midst of all of that? The pain of horrible situations that we see, and we know that we are not abandoned, we are not alone, but God is with us. As we build that endurance, the Spirit sustains us. As we form our character, God and Christ refines us, and we have hope of the resurrection, and we await eagerly for His return. See, the Trinity is not something to be mastered. It's not a doctrine just to be believed, but it is a reality that we live in. It is a reality and a great mystery that we witness Father, Son, and Holy Spirit manifesting in our daily lives, and we don't need to be a priest to minister to those around us. In fact, Bishop Doyle will tell you the same thing. We are all called to ministry. We are all called to go into the world and make disciples. So how might we minister to those around us? How might we live out this truth of the Trinity to those around us as we bring peace
to those. And in fact, the Greek word isn't just peace. It talks about a restoration of relationship, a right relationship. That really spoke to me to see that it's not just peace, but a restored relationship. Even then, we see God working in us once again to have and sustain a relationship with us. An act of God demands an act of faith. On Trinity Sunday, we are reminded that faith in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is not merely a verbal declaration, but is our lived reality. God, who walks with us, loves us deeply and never abandons us. And we can embody this faith as well. I am reminded so often that in our faith and the way we live it out, James reminded us that a faith without works is dead. And so many of our other brothers and sisters in other denominations and even in other religions have similar concepts that faith is not just there for us to observe, but to practice. In fact, one of the words that is attributed to the Buddha really spoke to me, where he said, however many holy words you read, however many sacred things you speak, what good will they do you if you do not act upon them? My friends, let us go forth and live that hope as we share it with those around us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.